You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're back with Anne Barham. She's the author of The Past Life Perspective, and she's a psychotherapist. So, Anne, have you ever run into a brick wall with someone where you haven't been able to actually find the past life experience that explains the problem?
Yes, that does happen on occasion. Pretty rare. Maybe 10 to 15% of people will not go to a past life. And usually what happens is they end up going to a memory from their early childhood from the current life, something perhaps that they even had blocked out consciously, and that's really more what their problem or issue is about. And so we end up processing that memory rather than something that comes up from a prior lifetime. On really, really rare occasions, someone will just be too anxious to relax to be able to do the process, because I put my client into a very relaxed state in order for the unconscious material to come up. And if they're not able to relax, then we can't be successful. But that's only happened 3 or 4 times over the past 20-plus years where it's been an issue of the person not being able to relax. And again, I try to prepare clients in advance that you need to be able to relax. If you have a hard time with that, practice with some meditation tapes or this or that before you come see me. But on occasion, there will be people that kind of ignore all that advice, and they show up in my office, and the first thing they say to me is, "I don't think this is going to work because I have a very hard time relaxing."
Do you ever get referrals from other counselors who have done like all their work and think that this is the only way?
Yes, actually, that does happen. So there's some other therapists out there who are familiar with what I do, and in their ongoing work with a client, they bump up against something that they feel really could benefit from some past life work. So it actually does integrate really nicely with a conventional therapy relationship as well.
And you've got a varied background in religion. Do you think that helps your counseling, both traditional and, I guess, Western, Eastern?
I think so. I think the more exposure we've had to different approaches to life and to understanding life and to religion and different cultures and everything else, that just makes anyone more prepared to deal with life and with the people that they meet in a much more gracious and understanding way. And that, in fact, is one of the things I love about past life work, because clients discover themselves in a prior lifetime in a completely different culture, speaking a different language, having a different political belief, belonging to a different religion, a different race. So people get the experience of this whole concept of diversity and our oneness as human beings, getting that on a very personal level, because they're actually experiencing themselves being someone entirely different, sometimes diametrically opposed to who they are now.
And when you found that you had been Asian and that your feet had been bound in a past life, did you ever have any other inklings about being Asian or any interests in that culture?
Well, actually, for me, there probably was less interest in Asian cultures, and it's an area that I've traveled quite a bit internationally, but that's one area of the world that I've been to India, but I have not been to other parts of Asia and don't have all that much interest. And I think that relates to the fact that it wasn't a particularly happy life experience. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we'll see, which is really fun. Another way to tune in, perhaps, to where you've been in prior lifetimes is to just look at the kind of traveling that you do or where you want to travel to and what really attracts you. Very often those will be areas of the world where you've had some happy past lives, places that you have an aversion to or really are not interested in visiting is probably somewhere there where there was a lifetime perhaps that was particularly challenging or unhappy. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun to play with that as you look at your travels. I had one client who she took a trip to Paris, never been there before, had not consulted any guidebooks, didn't consult maps. She knew exactly where she was going without any guidance from anything.
She'd absolutely been there before.
Yeah, this inner sense of, I know exactly where I am. Oh, I know how to get there. I know how to get there. And it just came right on, right back to her. And that was nothing that she could explain from her current life.
Fascinating. How is the medical community accepting this kind of work? Do you get any perspectives from them on it, or do they ever send people over?
You know, that's not something that I've experienced too often, although I have regressed people who are doctors themselves.
Okay. Yeah.
But as far as a doctor referring someone to me, I haven't really run into that particularly, and I think it's still a little hard for the established medical community, especially the Western medicine folk, to embrace this. Now, if you're dealing with an acupuncturist or someone like that, then yes, they definitely would send people over. I have yoga practitioners who are owners of yoga studios that have sent a raft of their clients to me.
Is there any relationship between past life therapy and hypnosis? Are you in kind of a hypnotic state when this happens? Going back?
Yes, you are.
Yes, okay.
Which is... Some people get worried about, oh, hypnosis, I'm out of control, the other person's controlling me, but it's really not that way at all. It's very much like meditating for those of your listeners who meditate, or being in prayer, or just even when we watch a movie and we get so involved in the movie that what's going on around us kind of fades away. So it's that kind of state. People are still aware of what's going on around them. They're aware that they're talking with me, but their focus is more on this story that starts coming up. And it comes up for people in different ways. So some people, they see it very visually in their mind's eye, almost like they're watching a movie. Some people, it's more intuitively, and this story just kind of starts going in their head. They just know, oh, I'm dressed in this big party dress and I'm riding in a carriage and I can hear the sound of the horse's hooves on the cobblestones and I'm really excited. I'm going to this grand ball. And it's not that they're seeing it so much as they just know that's what's going on. And then people also hear sounds or sometimes even smells, get sensations in their body sometimes even that's kind of the clue that's pulling us into that prior lifetime experience.
And could you share a case study from your book, The Past Life Perspective?
Okay, let's see.
Is there anyone
probably,
that just
Yeah,
comes
just trying to think of which would be the most interesting. Well, there was one very dramatic one where a woman came to me because she was finishing her master's degree and she all of a sudden she had to write a number of papers and she all of a sudden was having this terrible writer's block and could not sit down and write. And she didn't know what that was about and thought, gee, maybe this is some past life carryover. And we did go to a lifetime where she was the illegitimate daughter of some king of Spain, and she was part of the royal family, but really kind of on the side, and she was caught writing love letters to a female cousin, and that during that era was really considered a, you know, horrible sin. And as a result of this, her father had her hands cut off so that she could no longer transgress in that way. That was pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
And by going through that
and the connection is the writer's block.
Yeah, that she was unable to go and write her papers without a problem.
Fascinating.
It really released that block for her. Then there's some much more lighthearted ones that in the book as well. I tried to give a sampling sort of across the board of the types of issues that people come in with and the kinds of lifetimes that come up. And so it's really fun when we perhaps are looking for talents and abilities that a client wants to express more fully in the current life. So I did have a woman who was a writer, and different writer, who was able to go to a lifetime where she had been a very accomplished playwright, and this prior personality, this playwright, started actually mentoring her as to what she needed to do to write more successfully and how she should set up her workspace and the flowers she should put on the table and a variety of suggestions for her to be more successful in her writing. So it's really fun when you get this, you know, hip pocket mentor that you have that was your prior personality that's coaching you.
That's right. Oh, and there's so many interesting things in your book. What's the main takeaway that you'd like people to get from reading The Past Life Perspective?
Well, my real objective is to open up people's minds to the idea that there's so much more going on in our lives than just the surface level. And that in our relationships with others, often these threads go back many, many centuries, if not longer, that the situations we're facing now are ones that we perhaps dealt with before or is a continuation of something that we're resolving, and that we can step back from our current life and see it from a much broader perspective, which really helps us to work with whatever we're dealing with in a much more effective way, a more objective way. And that there's this whole spiritual realm that we can actually dip into and get a lot of information and guidance, and that it's easier for us to do than most people think.
Anne, a great book, and it's been great to have you on Health First Radio today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And people can learn more about my work at my website, which is www.pastlives, that's plural, one word, .org.
Okay. Thanks so much.